This is on. Open your Bibles to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians tonight. I'm so excited. We got our 20th anniversary next week, and boy, it's exciting to be part of this church. Here's an announcement. I've got an announcement. Couples, we're all planning to be in the our thing. We went to Smyers Farms yesterday, where we're going to, but it was all rained out. They closed the whole farm. So couples, look in a couple weeks, probably on the 14th, we're probably going to I'm going to double check to make sure that works with the church calendar, but I think that one is the best week that fits the best of the 14th. Be part of that. So if you were going to sign up, or if you did sign up and you can move to that day, any couples, or if you feel young, if you're a couple that feels young, or if you just want to go to the farm and ride the hay rides, come and tell them you're part of our group, because we'll get a discount. So, even if you're like, oh, I'm not even a young couple, whatever, but if you're going to come that day, say you're part of this, give like $6 to my wife, and instead of paying them $8, give $6, and we'll pay it, and this saves the deal. So there you go. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited in our young couples class. It's been going really well, and we've been having some great reception there and helping. I have a burden to keep reaching these young couples. There's new young couples come in and stuff and visit. I'm trying to catch them and say, hey, you should come check this out. We were doing a really long series. We just finished that up today. And so excited, right after our anniversary Sunday. I know there's no Sunday school next week. We're starting a new series, kind of starting off with some new special messages and stuff. Great if you know a young couple. It really helped me right when I got married. Our church had a young couples class that I've kind of patterned this one after, and it was a huge help to me and Amy when we got married, getting in there and getting like every week some lesson that related to the decisions I was making as a husband, and eventually like in the future as a father. That was, some of that stuff was helpful too, but I mean, especially, you know, as a couple, like it was really helpful right after we got married, starting off our marriage on a firm foundation. So would you pray for that? I mean, I'm really trying to reach some more young couples, new ones that have been kind of visiting a couple of times, and I like to see them kind of get engaged. So if you know someone that, like, that would be a good place for them to get plugged in the church, kind of spread the word on that. So that's my little pitch since I've got an extra time and there wasn't a special today. So there we go. Ephesians chapter 1. So it is the 20th anniversary, and it's exciting. And some of us here have been here for a while. Some of you have been here for a lot longer than me, and have made this your home, and this is kind of your church, and you know how everything goes around here. But then some of us have just started coming. Some of us don't know what's going on around here at all. And the question is, sometimes we don't really, like, do I fit in? Many people come to churches, and it's sad when you have a Christian that goes to a church for a while and says, well, I'm not quite sure if I fit in. And that's sad, because if there's one place as a Christian you ought to feel so accepted and so welcome, it's in a church, right? It's meant for you. It's ordained for you. This is God didn't just make the church here just to be here for a random reason, just to fulfill some special thing and do some kind of sacred thing like other religions. They have monasteries and stuff like that where they're doing some ritual, you know, to somehow get the spirits to bless them or some to get their fault. You know, we're not doing this for some ritualistic thing. This is for you, right? This is church, and so you ought to feel accepted here as a Christian. So tonight in Ephesians chapter 1, my message is entitled, How to Fit In at Lighthouse Baptist Church. How to fit in. How to make sure how to feel like you belong here, that you're accepted here, and stay that way, and stay a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, still fitting in at Lighthouse Baptist Church. So here it is, Ephesians chapter 1. We'll focus on one verse, but we'll look at the rest of the book. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. The Bible says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. He hath made us accepted in the beloved. Do you feel accepted at Lighthouse Baptist Church? Do you feel like you fit in? Like this church is a good fit for you? Well, Paul here is writing to the church at Ephesus. And a little history is in order here, right? Ephesus is in modern-day Turkey. There's this church, the Ephesians there, there's a city there when he first went there, when over there, Paul went there and he reached the people there with the gospel, right? And the first people he witnessed to were the Jews at the synagogue. You know what I'm saying? The synagogue is the Jewish equivalent of a Sunday school. And he went there and reached the Jews. And there in the city of Ephesus, you get the story in the book of Acts that it was a very divided city. There were the pagan people that were there, and they were very proud of their temple where they worshiped this goddess, right? And it was a wicked, a godless place, as far removed from Christianity or Judaism as you could possibly imagine, right? It was a, well, the temple was a fertility cult. I mean, you get the idea. I mean, my kids are present. I'm not going to explain what that entails. But the bottom line is that doesn't entail anything, even remotely, like how a Christian should behave. And then there were the Jews in the city, and they kept themselves so very distant from the Gentiles. There was a huge division, and you see it so much when some Christians, remember his church at the start started off with Jews getting saved. Those are the ones he was able to reach first. Often in other cities, it's not. Often the Jews rejected him, but there in Ephesus, the Jews accepted him, and there were many. In fact, there were 12 Jews there, Jewish men who were leaders there that were completely, honestly following God and following the Bible, and they had heard the preaching of John the Baptist, and they were all excited about the things of God and the Messiah coming. They just hadn't heard about Jesus. Right? They hadn't heard about the Holy Spirit. They didn't get the memo. And when Paul clued them in, they're like, oh, yeah, then we're all in on this, right? And so the church there in Ephesus was now, by that point, very well established with experienced Christians. Yes, they had been saved for years by the time this is written, but they had been Jews studying the Bible all their life. I mean, there were Bible scholars in that church that really knew the Word of God, and they lived very differently than the rest of that city where all the pagan worship was happening. In fact, so different they were. Remember when one of the Christians who they recognized used to be a Jew, right? Was a Jew, but it was a Jewish Christian, they had this whole riot and they for hours they just chanted, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." Remember the whole thing where they were so upset because, oh, their culture, they're so different from us. So there's this huge divide. So Paul was able to go there and reach, but most of his church initially was Jews and really, really grounded Jews. They really knew the Word of God. And not only that, Paul spent a lot of time getting them grounded in the Word of God, right? So we had great leadership. There's a great passage in the book of Acts where he's challenging the pastoral leadership there at that church before he goes to Rome. About being firm and following, and he had invested in this church. A lot of the churches, you know, Paul goes to, he's only there for sometimes as little as weeks, you know, so it's months that he's there. He gets a church started, and God moves him on and has some other Christians help grow that church. But there in Ephesus, he'd been there for years. Notice in the book of Acts, he spent years getting that church really, really grounded in the faith. And they knew the Word of God, and they lived the Word of God, and it was a solid church. And then Paul goes and he gets arrested and thrown in jail, where he's writing this letter from jail. And then he gets message in jail. Well, kind of revival's broken out here. And finally, masses, hundreds of these Gentiles are getting saved. These people that were worshiping that goddess in that temple, you know, it was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, that temple there at Ephesus. They're very proud of it. I mean, there's only seven, and they got one of them right there. And they're abandoning the temple in mass and coming to this church. This church is growing, and it's getting packed full of Christians. But you got to imagine what this looks like. Paul gets the message. He's in jail, and he knows that city. He spent years there ministering to that at that church. He knows what the church was like, and he knows what the culture outside the church was like. And he can only imagine in his mind, imagining what Sunday was like that Sunday morning. When here's a good Jewish man who's kept the law all his life, and he's sitting there, and in comes these new converts, and sits right next to him, a lady who used to be one of the temple prostitutes there, you know? Can you imagine how awkward that? What do we do, right? I mean, this is a weird scenario, and so the whole book of Ephesians is written to this group that it's like, suddenly, we have all these new Christians that don't know a thing about Christianity. They don't even know about God. They have to be told the very basics. And then these really well-established Christians that have been that were Jews before they were Christians, and they all their life, they knew the Bible inside and out. And so here's these fantastic, and they've got it figured out, and then here come these new Christians. They've got everything messed up about them, right? They're embarrassed walking in the door. Oh, wait, oh, I'm actually... I'm actually not supposed to come in with my alcohol. Whoops. Oh, let me set that outside here. We don't use those words here. We don't dress that way here. Oh, whoops. You know, they're totally awkward, right? This is totally straight. And they look at that. I could never fit in here. And Paul knows that. He hears this letter. This is a response letter, right? He gets the message, right? That's what he says here several times. I heard that all of you guys got saved. And now all these Gentiles are coming to this church. And he instantly knows, oh, man, that's going to be rough. They're going to be struggling with one thing, realizing that they're accepted. They're going to think, oh, man, we're second-rate Christians. We have all these first-rate Christians in this church, and they've got things squared away, and they've got it figured out, and they're living for God, and they've got the look down, and they're dressing right and acting right, and they're obeying all the principles. They know the Bible inside and out. And then here I am. I don't know nothing about the Bible and holiness and all this. In fact, all my life I said, oh, those Jews, those Bible believers are those weirdos, and now here I am. I heard about the grace of God, and I'm in this church, and all my life the idea of religion is this horrendous, immoral worship of this false god and idolatry. That's what I've known all my life. And then I'm coming here and realize, we don't bow down to statues here. Okay, got it. Right. We don't say that there. Oh, we don't use his name that way. Whoops. I mean, I'm used to using the name of my God, and oh no. Oh, we don't. Okay, sorry. And I can't imagine what it felt like for them. Like, do I really even fit in here at all? And Paul knew that, and he immediately writes this letter, and he's pouring out his heart. Because in three places in this letter, he's talking about how he's bending his knees, falling down on the ground before God, begging and pleading for one specific thing. And it has to do with those new Christians understanding that they belong. Those new Christians understanding that they fit in this church. Understanding, comprehending what it really means to be part of the family of God. And so here it is. He says in verse 6, he's talking about this acceptance. He says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And he wanted them to understand, hey, you are part of, it's not we've got the beloved here and then we got these new sinners. You know, our special project, you know, our charity case, you know, okay, we'll help you get to heaven. But no, you are accepted in the beloved. You're part of what God is doing here. You fit in this church. And he's writing this letter to help them understand they fit. They're part of this church. They belong here. So tonight, let's look at three areas you need to understand about your acceptance in this church. Number one, the origin of your acceptance. Where does it come from? How do we get here? How do we get to the place where we're accepted? Now, this is not how it works in the world. In the world, when you join a club or you join a group or you move into a new neighborhood, you immediately start this social process, right? Where you want to earn acceptance, right? You want to make friends and connect. And again, we all want to do that. I mean, that's good. Unless you're like the more, I'd rather not have friends. I'll be the loner type, and you know, maybe I'm part of that club. If I'd be honest, you know, I'd maybe a little bit more of an introvert. But you know, some of you guys more than others. You know, you're all ready to just make friends with everybody. But here's what naturally this group is thinking about. Okay, now I'm part of this church. How do I get acceptance here? And so you things you got to understand. Look, you don't earn it with your performance. In the world, you earn acceptance by doing nice things, right? By performing, right? Okay, here, I'll do a favor for you. I'll be nice to you. I'll shake your hand. I'll compliment you. I'll find something I can do for you. And if I do enough nice things to people, I can earn acceptance. Or here's number two, you don't attract it with your desirableness. Many people think in the world, You get a new job and a new society, a group, you move to a new country. Well, you want to look your best, right? And again, we should look our best here for Jesus. But again, someone new comes to this church, they think, oh, I got to fit in. I got to look desirable. You know, you'd spend the time looking good, and you're thinking, well, if I'm desirable enough, and you worry, like, if I'm, you know, I'm not that good looking, you know? Maybe I might smell bad, you know? My car is the kind of, I'm not going to park my car on back so they don't even see it because they might... They might be repulsed by me. Maybe it's the way I talk. And you think, well, because I don't look, I'm not desirable, I'm not going to attract acceptance. And also, look, you don't buy it with your value. Many times, again, in the world, the thought of how I get acceptance is I'm of some value to them, right? If I come along and look at this, here's what I can offer. This is why you want to include me in your group. Look what I've got on offer here. Look, I have these talents. Look, I have this money. You know, look, I'm a really hard worker. Here's what I've got. Here's the value I can bring to the church, right? That's not how it works in the church. You're not accepted in this church because, oh, look, she'd be good at doing this. Oh, he'd be doing good at doing that. Oh, he can pay some good tithes, you know. He can run the Sunday school. Oh, I think, oh, you got a CDL, you can run the bus. Okay, you're in, man. Hey, welcome, brother. Yeah. And we, again, without thinking it out loud, because if we say it out loud, we realize, oh, wait a minute, I think it has something to do with Christ and the cross, and that's why I'm here. But without thinking it out loud, by default, we kind of start acting that way. As if here I am, I start coming to the church and I started gotta act. I gotta either perform or be attractive. You know, maybe it's my charisma and my good looks and you know all of that, and that's what's gonna make me the popular person. Or you know, I'm gonna get acceptance again. Like, oh, look what I can offer, you know. I may not be good looking, but look, I'm really smart, I can solve all your problems for you, I can fix this, I'm really good at that, you know. And we think and we act as though we've got to earn. That's not how it works. Look at what it says in our verse here. It says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You don't make yourself accepted in this church. So what do I do to fit in better? You can't do a thing. Because the only people that fit in this church are the ones that God has made acceptable into this church. That's it. There's no other way to fit in here. But God makes you that way. God makes you for this church. That's it. Well, how does that work? How do we get that? Look, there's three things we need to know from this passage. Look, he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Look at this. It was his idea. He paid the price, and it is conditioned on faith in him. Notice the world looks at acceptance as it's about my desirableness. It's about my performance. It's about my value. But when it comes to your acceptance in this church, it's about his plan and what he paid on the cross, his performance. He did the work. It was his idea. And the only condition is your faith in him. And that's it. And that's how acceptance works. Let's look more of the passage in just that one verse. Let's go up here. Look at in verse 3 how he starts this off. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. This is him doing it. This is him including us. And not just the church here on this earth, but we're talking about our heavenly destination in heaven. And in Christ. Look, it's not a big deal. It's not about, hey, am I in the in crowd here? Am I in Christ? Look, he's done this according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Before the world was started, this has always been his plan to take believers and move them and grow them and make them part of a church and make them part of his glory and take them to heaven. This has always been his plan. Look, specifically, this is what his plan was, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Your sanctification as a believer, he's always had that planned. So we're sitting around trying to, like, I gotta appear more holy to impress people in the church. But that is his plan. That is his doing. He's been planning that all along. Right? It says, according as he hath chosen us in him for the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestined us into the adoption of children. Look, heaven, what we're going to experience in heaven, those mansions in glory, he's already decided that. We haven't gotten there yet, but it's predestined. It's going to happen. If you've believed in Jesus, you're on your way to heaven. That's fantastic, right? He's figured that out. That's his plan of salvation. That's the basis of why we're here. According to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure, look, of his will. This is his idea. Like, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom ye have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. This is his doing it in your life. This is what makes you accepted here. Not how many favors you've done for other members of the church. Not how much you look like you'll be a good church member material. It's what he's been doing in your life. Look at this. And it's his plan all along. And he's done the one. He paid the price. Yes, there's a price to be paid. There's value needed to be accepted in this group. But he's paying the whole thing. He's the one that's given you value. Look, jump down here to he goes on about how this has been his plan all along to gather together all the believers in him and not have this separate Jews and Gentiles and all that. And that's what we're getting to here. Right? In verse 11, it says, in whom we also, now understand we're about to go here. We're talking we as in us Jews versus you heathen Gentiles. Okay, that's actually where he's going. So follow along here. It says, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, right? And we know, of course, they're like, oh, yeah, I know the Jews have that inheritance and the promised land and all that. But no, hold on what it's saying here. In whom we have obtained inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Okay, this is him planning, and he said it's going to be. He says we're going to have this inheritance, and so it's going to happen. Remember how Abraham was promised that land, and he got it. You know, if God decides you're going to get this in the future, it's going to happen. That those mansions in heaven, they're already set. They're going to be there. Your name is written in heaven there, right? So look at this. That, again, here's these words again, that we should be to the praise of glory. But here's the key word here. Who first trusted in Christ. See, the only condition of your acceptance in this church is that you've trusted in Christ. So all of these things are true. So everything he's just said, and we can read all of it there, but all this blessings in heavenly places and being predestined to heaven and being made like unto him, being holy without him and blame, all these wonderful things he has planned for you. There, he said, God has all these wonderful things. Again, this is us. This is Paul the Apostle and Apollos and these pastors and these giants of the faith saying, yeah, God has all this amazing stuff planned for us who first trusted in Christ, but then he turns in the next verse. You see this in verse 13, in whom ye also trusted. See, this is where he's going here. The whole explanation, this whole first chapter is about this. Look, we've got all this. We've got these promises. We got this, and they've been thinking, "Oh yeah, you perfect Christians. You're children of Abraham. You're a Jew. I know you're from that tribe. And, you know you got all this. You've got your ancestors have been believers back 50 generations. I can't imagine that. You know, my family's only been Christians back 3 generations, and many of you here, you've just gotten saved, and your parents aren't saved, and can you imagine that? Your great 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 grandparents were believers in Christ and all the way down. And yet some of the people there, like Paul and stuff, that was the case. I mean, they've been believing in God for generation after generation after generation. And here's these new believers that have been just living heathen wickedness and rebellion against God for generation after generation. And God said, look, God's chosen us to this glory in heaven and being made holy, the holiness and glory in heaven and being adopted, accepted in Christ and this inheritance of the kingdom of God and all that. He's chosen to give us all of that, all these promises in the future. That started when we trusted in Christ. And now you've trusted in Christ. So you have all the same thing. Do you get what he's saying? You're saying, you look at these great Christians in the church that you feel like, I don't think I belong. Look, I'm nowhere close to where they're at. I'm nowhere close to where they're at. But look around and say, look, hold on. They're where they are in Christ because there was a day when they trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior, accepted the grace of God and were born again. And you just got born again. You just trusted Christ as your Savior. So guess what? You're now part of the same club. All those things that are true of the Apostle Paul, they're now all true of you as well. All those things that were true of Apollos and Barnabas and all these great preachers that had come and preached there at that church, now they're true of that, temple prostitute that just got saved. That drunkard that just walked in the door and is trying to turn to God. The person that all his life, that priest that used to just do daily worship of an idol, and now they know the true God. But now they've believed. Look, it says, after that, it says, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom? Also, after that ye believed, You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Here's the bottom line. They're born again. That is the origin of their acceptance of the church, in the church. Not that they're kind of like the other Christians here. Not that they've reached this level of sanctification to now they fit in. Not that they've learned the lingo and know how to find the verses in the Bible. Not that they've dealt with these sins in their life and now they've kind of right now that they're qualified to be a deacon or whatever. No. The acceptance came when they were born again. If you're born again, do you fit in this church? Absolutely you do. You're made to be part of this church. Look at this. Like this. I've got some kids here. I got Bella and Hunter, right? And they're brother and sister, right? They're close. They're siblings. There's a relationship between them that's not in jeopardy. It's not going to wake up one morning and Hunter's not nice to Bella and they're going to decide to stop being brother and sister. It doesn't work that way. In fact, there's nothing they do to each other that can ever mess with that relationship at all. Because the relationship isn't about each other. They're brother and sister because she's my daughter and he's my son. You see what brings them together? See, what creates that acceptance in the family isn't their relationship one to another. It's that they both have the same relationship with me, the Father. And here's the foundation of us being close to other people in the church. Right? John 1:11, he came into his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave ye power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. This was an idea God chose to have a relationship with you. And your closeness and your acceptance by other members of this church is that you have a relationship with God, and so do they. And this is the key to a strong relationships in the church. If you're like, I feel distant from everyone in the church. Well, think this one through. Right? If I can't seem to get along with all the members of the church, and the only thing we have in common here is that we all have a relationship with him. And we should do a little math. Is it more likely that all of them have a problem with their relationship with the Father, or do I? If I can't get along with other Christians, let's just be honest with ourselves. Where's the relationship problem here? And it makes all the difference if you're just like, well, am I accepted? Well, are you born again? Then yes, you are. It's just a truth. You are, right? It's like same thing like coworkers. You know, you're a coworker. You're not worried every day. It's like, oh, am I gonna offend my coworker and he's not gonna want to be my coworker anymore? No, it doesn't matter. Okay, the reason you're coworkers isn't because you decided to work together. It's because you both got hired by the same boss. Okay, the bottom line is as long as your relationship's good with your boss, you're good to go, right? Do you understand this works in marriage? We can get struggled, we can get strained, but at the foundation of a Christian marriage is that we're both in Christ. That draws us together far better than we can ever draw towards each other. It really does. Because if I'm in Christ, my wife's in Christ, we're going to, in acceptance, I mean, there's a lot of husbands and wives are like, am I good enough? Am I going to be rejected? Are they going to not like me because I do this wrong, I do that wrong, and I've got these issues? And we worry about, you know, is this going to work? Is our marriage? But if the foundation there is likewise in Christ, Christ made my marriage, then we're together in Christ. That's the foundation. That's the origin of us being accepted, right? We don't need, sometimes we still have that mindset, right? We come to a church and we think, I still got to fit in, right? And so we're doing all the extra things. Now again, should we be nice to each other? Yes, absolutely. But why? Because of our relationship with Christ. Here's someone else who's saved by the grace of God. It's what Christ is doing in us that causes us to want to be kind and or to want to be generous and to share with one another. Right? In the world, they do a lot of those same things. I mean, again, we can't say we're obviously a Christian church because look how nice we are. Again, you can go to a secular club and you'll see them doing favors to another and smiling to one another and being nice to one another. What are they doing? They're earning acceptance in the group. they're following whatever the group rules are and whatever the norms are, and they're all dressing the same, and we can do all those things the world's way. Or we can just understand we're accepted in the beloved. Of course, when that happens, guess what? We're going to be nice to each other. We're going to be doing things for each other, but it's not like, okay, they did something nice, I gotta make sure I pay that favor back, and then they'll accept me. No, you just do it out of love. You know, it ought to be like someone unsaved person comes to the church, and they're trying to understand the dynamic of the group, and it doesn't make sense. You know, they can't figure out where the cliques are. Like, it's like everybody likes everybody, and they have this little group here. They know each other, but all of a sudden, they'll do some huge favor to them, and they're not doing anything to repay it there, and they're just being nice to them, and they complimented them, and they said thank you to them, and they're just it's almost like they're just one giant big family. That's right. It's exactly what it ought to be. We're accepted in the beloved because of what Christ, this was Christ's idea, right? It's him doing it. He paid the price. I don't got to sit there and earn my status in the church. He paid for it. He did all the work. And the only condition is my faith in Christ. So number two, so first we had the origin of my acceptance, and that was God's grace. Number two, the purpose of our acceptance. What's the purpose? Now, this is really important. What is this actually for? Why do I actually care that I'm accepted in the beloved? We don't think of this often. Like, in the world, there's a reason why they really desire it. People really work hard most of their life. That's one of the biggest things that human beings spend the most effort on, getting acceptance into one group or another. You know, at school, they're trying to get acceptance. They're trying to be like the popular kid in school, right? This club, this group. You try to move up the social strata by being accepted by more and more affluent or elite people in society. Acceptance is what we live for in the world, right? Well, what are we doing it for? We're doing it for praise, right? Well, why do we want to accept? Like, we're doing, like, this is the thing, and it's not only that we're doing it for that, but that's the evidence that we have acceptance. Like, normally, when in the world, in some kind of secular group, you're accepted on the team because they're like, hey, excited to see you. Oh, man, you're great. You're awesome, right? That praise, recognition. The recognition, like, oh, hey, you did a fantastic job there. Hey, I appreciate what you did here. Hey, you're a huge part of the team. You've contributed so much. These are the things that tell us, oh, I must be part of the group. Normally, naturally, in our normal human being interactions, right? What about comfort, right? In the world, they just about, like, I fit in and I feel comfortable now that kind of I feel accepted. That's why you want acceptance, right? You want it for praise. You want it for recognition. You want it for comfort. I feel like I fit in here. I belong here. And boy, you ought to feel that way. But hold on. What is the purpose of acceptance in the church? Look, it's not for praise. It's not for your praise. It's not for your praise. It's not for your recognition. It's not for your comfort. What does it say in our verse? Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. The purpose of your acceptance in this church is to give glory to God. And that's it. It's not, I need to fit in for my benefit. I need to fit in because otherwise I won't feel good. And I'm not feeling good. I might as well go to another church where I can better serve my needs. Right? And sadly, that's just too common in our society. But hold on, the reason I'm part of a church isn't for me. It's not even to meet my needs. It's not for my value, not for my benefit. It's to the praise of the glory of his grace. Look, if it's for a different purpose, it's going to look different. So this is the problem why Christians struggle. They come into a church and they fit perfectly in that church. And they're a great part and everyone's really glad they're there. But they often don't feel like they fit in because they're looking for the markers of acceptance in the world. If you think the purpose is for you to feel comfortable and to praise you and to get your recognition and to up yourself in the social strata, then and it doesn't feel like you're getting that. All of a sudden, I'm not the favorite anymore. People aren't talking about me. I'm not it was exciting when I first came, but now everyone's kind of forgotten about me. Now they're excited about that other person that just joined. I guess I'm yesterday's news. the devil really can talk. They really can Christians, right? Again, we don't say that out loud, but the devil can gnaw those thoughts in the back of our mind. Oh yeah, what? They were really taking, people were really worried about me. They were praying for me. Now they've kind of forgotten about me. No one's talking about me from the pulpit. You know, I'm not the illustration. Pastor's not complimenting how well I did on this or that ministry thing. So I must not really fit in anymore. But hold on. The purpose of you being here is to give glory to God. So the question of whether or not you fit, it's not the question of whether or not I'm getting praise. Is me being here giving him praise? That's how I know if I belong. Look, you sit in a Baptist church. You come in and you sit down. How do you know that you belong here? Because you sit here, and after hearing some beautiful singing, the pastor will do something crazy. He'll say, can you stand up? Yeah, all of you. And hey, can you grab your hymn book and sing a song? You ignored that as, but is there no other greater invitation to say, hey, you're part of this church? And pastor saying, hey, can you sing the songs with us? What we're doing here is singing praise to the glory of his grace. Join in, you're part of the team. Do you need any more evidence that you're accepted here? And the fact that someone asked you to open that hymn book and sing with us? Yes, you. Even if you don't sing on key, it doesn't matter. Because the only entry fee here isn't we check whether you can sing on key and do it. Look, yeah, sure, we have the choir and they've practiced and stuff like that. We'll do that. But that's not the center. Look, then everybody sings. Why? Why do we do that here? Just because it's tradition. It's just what we do. No. Because every one of you is accepted in the blood to the praise of his glory. So we're going to praise God together. You belong here. Because you're part of what we're doing here, giving glory to God. You think about like being included on like a basketball team, right? Someone picks you. We want you on our basketball team, right? How do you know that you're not just okay an extra fill in, but no, you're actually accepted as part of the team, right? Well, there's some giveaways. Hey, they get you your uniform and it matches, and they all talking about you. Hey, your so and so is joining the team. Oh man. Helps, right? Right? And so let's say you get the praise, you get the recognition. Oh man, he's got so much talent. We're going to start winning games now. He's on the team. Hey, I'm so excited. You know, we gave him the uniform, the shoes and all this. We're ready. He's there on the game day. Boy, we're so excited. But imagine all that happens and they're all praising. Oh yeah, we're going to win now that you're on our team and you're the best and we love you. You're a great asset to our team and you're looking sharp there in our uniform. But then the whole game goes by and you're sitting on the bench. Look, do you feel included in the basketball team? Right? No. Right? Or maybe you play for a few minutes and they never pass you the ball. Right? And they never pass you the ball and you're like, well, okay, you said that, oh, you're so glad I'm here, but look, the mission of the team is to put the basket through that, the ball through that hoop there, right? To make some goals, score some points. And as much as you said you've included me, you never actually involved me in doing that, so maybe I'm not really a fit here. And so what does that mean to the church? If I said the purpose, now listen carefully, the purpose was to give glory to God. So when you're talking about, like, am I fitting into this church? The question isn't, am I being recognized? Am I being seen as a value to the church? Are people talking? No. Are you giving glory to God? What does that look like being past the basketball in church? It might be, hey, we need someone to vacuum the carpet. So what? Yeah, because look at this. You vacuumed the carpet and no one knows you did. But here comes a new visitor. Oh man, this is a nice church. This is all nice and clean. And no one mentions the fact that you vacuumed it. No one says anything about what you did. But God got glorified by what you did. So look, so you belong here. You're doing, so who's qualified to belong in this church? Hold on, look what it says here. To the praise of the glory of his grace. There's a bunch of words. I mean, don't just string those all together and blur it in your mind. Hold on. Praise, right? I'm speaking, I'm recognizing, I'm proclaiming the worth of something. The glory is The word that is the attribute of God, that he is worthy of praise, right? So I'm praising, I'm proclaiming the fact that he does have glory, he is worthy of praise, he is worthy of worship, right? But there's a lot of things. They say, like, well, why does it help that I'm part of this church? You think about it, hold on. The heavens declare the glory of God, right? Look at that sunset. Look at those stars in the sky and the galaxies in the heavens and the beauty of nature, the power of the storm that just passed through. Man, the noise of thunder, man, surely that declares the glory of God. Oh, yes, it does. But only you can be to the praise of the glory of his grace. Look, that thunder and lightning and the beautiful sunset shows the praise of is to the praise of the glory of his strength, his wisdom, his power, his omnipotence. But only a select few are qualified to praise the glory of his grace. And that's those who have been the recipients of his grace. That means wicked sinners like you. So are you qualified to be a valuable member of this team? Well, if you're a sinner, worthy of death and hell, the blood of Jesus Christ paid for those sins. And you're born again by the Holy Spirit of God, who made you clean when you were on your way to hell. He turned, he reached, and he saved you. And you're a sinner saved by grace, then absolutely. The very fact that you're here, included, sitting in this church, you're to the praise of the glory of his grace. When you put it that way, well, who really fits in? Again, Jesus gave parable after parable explaining this, right? Remember the sheep? Which was more to the praise of the glory of his grace? The 99 good sheep who were still there, or the one lost one? Right, in the book, in Ephesus, who's more qualified to give glory to God's grace? Those Christians that had grow up as Jews, obeying the Bible, memorized the Bible inside and out at the age of 5? Or those wicked people from the temple, addicted to drugs, living a life of sexual perversion, until they hear of God's grace? So do you belong? If you understand the purpose of your acceptance in this church, absolutely, you belong here. Now, what if you're here and some Christian acts like they don't accept you? Right? There's still a problem sometimes, right? We've established this. If you're a sinner saved by grace, you are accepted here. But look, sometimes I might not treat you that way. Because guess what? I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I'm still a work in progress. So ever you come and someone walks in the church and look, I'm still growing, I'm still working on this, but am I, you know, like, okay, maybe they do have like tattoos on their face and they smell really bad, like marijuana and stuff like that, and they're coming to hear about the grace of God, and maybe I'll get that look on my face. And I see that out of the corner of their eye. Look, I'm sorry, that's my bad. Look, if you're here and you are accepted in this church and my behavior makes you feel unaccepted, that's my bad. That's not God. You are accepted, okay? That's just look, give me some patience. I'll come around, okay? If you feel other Christians are treating you like you don't belong, listen, look, give them a little patience. They're growing too. You are accepted in the beloved, and so are they. So God's working on them just like he's working on you. Eventually they'll realize, oh yeah, we are a perfect fit for each other in the church. We'll work that out. I'm sorry for, like, it just took me back a little by surprise, you know, the way you had that, you know, whatever attached to your face. You know, like, it was a little surprising. It's not what I mean, right? Right? And also these Jews were like, oh, I'm sure they had it on their face when these Gentiles all came in there. Their head is not even covered, and they got the you see how she was dressed? I've seen her before. She's from the temple. Right? And that's look on their face. You know, they were working on it, okay? Give them some patience, right? Sometimes hate to say it, but Christians are still a work in progress. Sometimes there's still a little bit of pride. Even though we know we're here because of grace, sometimes that kind of that slips in. The fact that, you know what, I do add a little value to the church. You know, and I am sort of charismatic and good looking, you know? And, you know, I have been nice to all these people here. Maybe I've earned a little bit of acceptance. We can get proud like that. And I'm sorry, because sometimes we do. Sometimes we slip up. So if you're here in the church and you're like, but, yeah, I know you're saying we're accepted, but, you know, so-and-so said this, so, yeah, they'll come around. You are accepted because of God. This is God's church. It's not my church. It's not their church. Okay? They're working on it too. You're just as accepted as them because it's based on the same thing. Look, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. This is the next chapter. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's no boasting here. There's no I'm a better Christian than you. We're all here by grace. But look, but then it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. Look, we're saved by grace. That whole thing of actually being nice to each other, that's God's special project he's working on, okay? So, look, he's before ordained. He's already decided that's the way we're going to be, so we're his workmanship, okay? We're all here. We're all accepted. As far as actually acting that way towards one another, okay, that's God's special project. He's working on it, okay? Give it some time, but you're absolutely accepted. So we're going to come to the final thing we need to realize here. So number one, look, we looked at the purpose. We looked at the origin. Here it is, the certainty of our acceptance. Number three, the certainty of our acceptance. So here comes the final question, right? Okay, I know rationally this is a church, right? And I'm saved. I've trusted in Christ as my Savior. And I'm here. But sometimes I don't feel like I fit in. And I'm not going to dismiss that. That's a valid question, right? Okay, I know logically. Yeah, you said it. Yeah, I'm born again. I'm a Christian. They're all sinners saved by grace. I'm a sinner saved by grace. You know, I know I've got all these issues I'm trying to overcome. So I'm coming to the bridge to victory on Friday. I'm trying to get this stuff out of my life. I'm a work, but you know, hey, we're all in this together. But I'm saved. I'm born again. This is great. I understand that I should be going to church. I understand I should be a member of church. But sometimes I just don't feel accepted in this church. Sometimes I see how those Christians are so much further along than me, or sometimes they're just kind of so busy, they're like darting out the door in the end, and they don't even notice me because they've got, I don't know, a casserole burning in the oven or whatever. And everybody's noticing somebody else. You know, maybe it's someone else. Maybe it's that Barnabas who sold his house and gave all the money to the church, you know. And everyone's talking about him, and here's old Ananias and Sapphira, right? They didn't feel accepted in that church. Oh, man, we got to do something. Do something about it. Maybe if we sold our property and gave the money to the church, or at least they thought so, you know, then we'd be accepted. Look, we've all been there. There's times when we don't feel. We know logically I am accepted because God accepts me. But we don't always feel it. And that's fair enough. And God understood that. And the Apostle Paul, as he's writing this, he understood that. That's so much about what this letter's about. Looking back in Ephesians 1, 13, it says, verse 13, Ephesians 1, in whom ye also trusted, here we go, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. What's the answer to I don't feel like I belong? God gave you something to help with that. God knew that would be an issue, and it is an issue. There's not a problem of Christians fitting in churches. They fit in churches perfectly. There's not a struggle with Christians belonging or being accepted. Christians accept other Christians. I mean, that's what church is. But a lot of Christians all across church after church I've been to struggle with feeling accepted. They feel, I don't think I belong. I'll go to the next church. Maybe I'll fit in better there. Oh man, this church, the preacher, I think he must be preaching right at me, and that lady must be gossiping about me, and that person wasn't nice. Oh, I don't fit in here either. I'll go to the next church. You're never gonna figure it out. Until you realize that if I want my heart to catch up with reality, God already gave you a solution to that. And it's the Holy Spirit of God. Look at this. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Here it is, unto the praise of his glory. So in other words, look, I don't have heaven yet, but God gave something to evidence my position right now, his Holy Spirit. Now listen, when I'm standing in those pearly gates, and God the Father is saying, well done. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Hey, here's your mansion I've prepared for you. There's not one of us in that day that is going to have any problems feeling accepted in Christ. Not the tiniest bit. But we're not to that day yet. And so he's given us something right now. His Holy Spirit. And if I struggle with this, like, am I good enough? Am I accepted? Do I really fit in here? They're not talking about me anymore. I don't think I'm the faith. You know, I don't think this pastor like me. Maybe he doesn't like me. Maybe he thinks I'm bad. I think they're upset at me now. They didn't say hi, so maybe they're angry at me. Here's where you should put your focus. Maybe you should just come down here. Say, God, fill me with your Spirit. I want to yield to the Holy Spirit of God that you've already given me. There's the solution to feeling accepted. It's not to go and get and fix so-and-so this so they stop saying this to you. And God's working on them, don't worry. But that's not really the source of that feeling. If you're not feeling accepted in the Beloved, when he made you accepted, the struggle is with this relationship right here. He's already given you the Holy Spirit of promise. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not. Look, you're not going to have it. They're not going to get it because they knew him not, beloved. Now we are the sons of God. It does not appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's the hope we have. And then he goes on to say, look, if we have this hope, we purify ourselves. Look, there it is. That's coming. What do I have right now? His Holy Spirit. Paul's praying. He's begging. And you see this in verse after verse, right? In chapter 2, verse 18, he talks about for through him we both, again, we're talking about your group and our group, both groups, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. What allows that? The Holy Spirit of God. He's broken that down. In Ephesians, in chapter 3, verse 14, he really sums it up. And this is where we'll sum it up. Paul's praying, and I mentioned this. He hears about these Christians, these new Christians joining the church, and they probably don't fit in at all. But they do fit in. And he already knows they're accepted, and he already knows they're a perfect fit for that church. But he knows they probably don't understand that. And the struggle isn't, oh man, I wish we can change some things. Maybe we should adjust the church. We should change our service times to adapt to the culture. No, it's not going to solve any problems at all. Maybe we should be more, appealing to these to this new trend. You know, some churches no. He's going to beg and plead with God. Look what it says here. Verse 14, chapter 3. For this cause, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm falling down on the ground, right? As I'm writing this. As he's writing this letter, he's falling on his knees, begging God for something. What is he begging God for? God, I help change, make sure that they fit in, fix this problem. No. He's begging God for one very specific. He says, I'm bowing my knees. I'm pleading with God, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might in the spirit of the inner man. As I'm asking God to do a miracle inside you, to give you a supernatural ability. To what? That ye may be able to comprehend. In other words, he's saying, I'm begging, I'm praying, you're new to the church, I'm begging the Holy Spirit will do something supernatural inside you and get you to comprehend something that you do not understand yet. It's true, it's real. The issue isn't whether or not you're accepted in this church. The issue is whether you comprehend that. And that's not, I could explain it to you all day long, I can give all the logic and all the reasoning, but you're not going to feel accepted in the beloved until God does something supernatural in your heart, in your mind, to allow you to comprehend something that is beyond comprehension. It says, that ye may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask and think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. He's pleading with God, help these Christians understand, to comprehend, to fathom just how much they belong in this church. Oh, they belong in the body of Christ. Get the love of Christ. God is reaching out with open arms to accept them in. But it's so hard for our human minds to look, I haven't done anything to earn acceptance. I'm nobody. I don't look good. I don't have no value to the church. Why would I be accepted? Oh, if you could only understand. I'm pleading with God, says Paul, that you would understand, that you would be able to comprehend along with all the other saints. Not that you would be accepted with the other saints. You are. But along with the other saints, that you would comprehend the depth, the breadth, the length, God, the enormity of God's love towards you. So as we come to our 20th anniversary of this church, as you come here next Sunday morning, and you're asking yourself, do you fit in? Remember the origin, where your acceptance came from was you trusted in Christ and got saved. The purpose of our acceptance is to give glory to God. It's not about us, it's about him. It doesn't feel like people are accepting because what it is about your life is giving glory to God. That is acceptance in the church. And the certainty of our acceptance, us feeling it, doesn't come from all the other things people say in the church. Well, they will. They'll be led of the Holy Spirit, and they'll eventually say some nice things to you. But you know you're accepted in the church because that's what the Holy Spirit tells you on the inside.